Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I would like for us to go to Matthew chapter 7 to begin with. Amen. We're going to talk this morning about the subject. Actually, it's a question that I'm going to ask you, and we're going to talk about it this morning. And the question is this: do you have a living faith? Do you have a living faith? And I want to talk about that this morning. Our faith needs to be alive. In other words, you know, it's not we, you know, in other words, what we believe, we act on. It's not just enough to believe something, you have to act on what you believe if you're going to have a living faith. And we'll talk about that as we go along. I'm going to read some scripture this morning, maybe three, four, maybe five. But let's go to Matthew 7, verse 24. Are you there? Amen. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and he does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." How many want to be a wise person? "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them." So we have one that hears and does do them, and one that hears and does not do them. It didn't say that the one that didn't do it didn't like his words, just said they didn't do it. "Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, you know, we've seen just, you know, I think it was last year, you know, with the North Carolina, the hurricane and all the things, just what rain, water can do. It's powerful. You know, you can get yourself killed real quickly with water. You know, I know years ago when I went out on the river, not the Ohio, the White River, and I was going to go fishing in a boat, a John boat, you know, about a 14-foot John boat. So not a big boat, you know, but I decided I'm going to go fishing. And when I got there, I looked at the river and I thought, you know, it's too high to be out here. You know, if it gets so high, you don't want to be on it because there's a lot of current, there's logs floating down the river, all kinds of debris. But I wanted to go fishing. So I thought, and I mean, it was moving on fast, the river was. But so I thought, well, I'm going to go anyway, you know, even though I knew it wasn't a good idea. But, you know, a guy's just got to fish. You know what I'm saying? And so I go out there. I'm by myself, which was really not a smart thing to do. And so I'm out there, and I get to the place where I want to fish. And, you know, I have an issue here because I've got to drop two anchors. All right? So I thought, okay, I'm going to drop the back one, and I'm going to hurry real fast and drop the front one. Oh, boy was right. As soon as that back anchor grabbed the bottom, that boat started spinning like a top. And I could not get the other one in. All I thought of, this is my last day on the planet. Oh, this is it. I got it. I did get it up. I did get it up, you know, without incident. It kind of pushed me into the bank a little bit, and I was able to get the motor started back up, and I decided, I'm not fishing today. I'm going home. Because water's powerful. How many know that? But here's what I want you to see. This is a story about two people, okay? One heard and did. One heard and didn't. But both heard, which means they both submitted themselves to the word. You know, there's a lot of people that just don't hear. But both these were hearing. One did and one didn't. But they both had storms. Both did. Now, I have seen this, I don't know how many times over the years, where people that don't believe like the Bible, I started to say like we believe, but how about like the Bible? You know what I'm saying? Like the Bible believes. You know, the Bible teaches divine healing. How many know that? You'd have to be deaf, dumb, blind, and ignorant not to know that if you read it with an honest heart. There's just too many scriptures from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I could take you through from Genesis to Revelation and show you scriptures all over the place about God heals. But then you get somebody like us that believe that he does, and then one of us gets sick, and then they'll point and say, see, it doesn't work. There they go, pray for the sick, and they believe in healing, and they got sick, and they're just phonies, they're just fakes. Anybody ever heard that? But you know, the Bible says storms come to all of us. I'm not moved when somebody who preaches on healing or prays for the sick has an affliction. Why? Because there's still a devil out there. And so it doesn't move me. I realize storms hit us all. The goofy guy is the guy that says we're not going to have any storms because we're believing God. He's the guy's like, where'd you get that at? My Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but... See, what the problem I have is when we leave the butt off. But the Lord delivers him from half of them. I mean, he'll deliver him from all of them. But here we have the storm. And see, the only thing that's going to keep your house from getting rocked when the storm is on is if you're doing what the Word says. You have a living faith. Now, I've got a minister that I know of. He's a pastor. And he had, some time ago, he had cancer come on him. And he preaches like what we preach. He believes like what we believe. You know, he prays for the sick. He's seen people get healed, and he gets cancer. And, of course, people attack and say, well, that proves it's not real because you got sick. You know, that's just as dumb as saying, well, you know, you guys believe in being saved and forgiven of your sins, and you sin, so it's not real. How many know people that are saved still sin? Come on, ask your neighbor, when's the last time you sinned? No, don't do that. How many understand? How many know forgiveness is a real redemptive thing in the Bible, right? But people still miss it. Well, the same thing's true. You know, you just got to have some common sense about you. It doesn't exempt you from attack. It just means your house is going to stand when you go through the attack. So anyway, this pastor that I know of, he got cancer. And I mean, really, honestly, in the natural, he shouldn't be alive today. But he's, you know, he's not yet. He's in California. But here in a little bit, he'll be standing in his pulpit preaching the Word to his people. He's a lot thinner than he was, but he's still alive and still going and still strong. They even had to make a brand new esophagus for him. I mean, his esophagus got ate away with cancer. I didn't know they could do this. They built him one, put it in his body. You know what I'm saying? They can do all kinds of things today. I don't know if you know that or not. Oh, yeah, man. I saw this guy, he got frostbite on the nose, you know, climbing Mount Everest. His nose fell off. And they built him one. They built it upside down. It was pointing up that way. When it grew, they cut it and flipped it back around. I don't know why they do that. I'm not into nose growing. I don't know that much about it. But evidently, you had to do it that way. You know what I'm saying? So he couldn't go outside in the rain for a while. You know what I mean? It's amazing what they can do today. I mean, really, it is. It's amazing what they can do. I mean, some of the things you read about that they can do, it's like, whoever thought of this up? Who thought this up? You know what I mean? And so, but anyway, I wanted you to see that, you know, because people don't understand that sometimes, but, well, I thought they believed in this and I thought they believed in that. Well, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a storm in that area. You think the devil's going to leave you alone and say, oh, well, they believe in healing. I'm never going to bother them again.
Come on now.
That's right. Any more than you gave your life to Jesus Christ doesn't mean he's not going to tempt you again to sin. Doesn't make you a sinner. It just means you missed it. You're the righteousness of God when you get saved according to the Bible. That's who you are, but that doesn't mean you still can't miss it. But it doesn't do away. It doesn't validate the truth or the reality of it. It just means the devil got you in that area. Amen. You know, I don't subscribe to the doctrine that we all sin every day in every way. That just, all you're telling me, you didn't miss an opportunity. But I'm also smart enough to know that people still miss it, that I still miss it. What are you saying, right? How do you know I missed it? Y'all find something out I don't know about? And like one minister, they accused him of having an affair. He said, well, who is it? I should know if I'm doing it. Really, it's a true story. What do they call that? The ministerial council didn't like him, you know, and said, we've caught you in an affair. You're having an affair. He goes, well, who is she? Because I need to know. If I'm having an affair, I've got to be part of it. They said, well, we got the pictures. And so he said, well, I'll be over. And so they came over and they slapped a picture on the table. He said, that's my daughter, you idiots. Caught them together, you know, in the mall and going out to dinner. So I think it's legal to take your daughter out to the mall and dinner. But, you know, the thing about the storms is they come to all of us. No, nobody's exempt. So if you face a storm, it doesn't invalidate God's word. It just means if you have a living faith and you do what the word says, you do what Jesus said, you're going to come out on the other side with victory. Hallelujah. And I will say this, that if you live your life by that book, you will avoid a lot of things. How many know you'll avoid marriage problems if you live by that book? If both do, both have to. If both live and walk in the love of God, you'll avoid a lot of things. But it doesn't exempt you from everything. You still have storms. So I don't get shaken when they say, well, you know, man, look at that. They pray for the sick or they do this or they that, and they got something going wrong with them. Well, so what? That's the devil. Why don't you pray for them instead of criticize them? Amen. Amen. Who made you Holy Ghost Junior, judge of everybody? I see that on the internet. Stay off the internet. Some of that stuff, you know, I've seen people, they just pick on everybody. This guy wrote a book way back in the 80s, and he was picking on everybody that believed anything that had any positivity to it. And I remember he wrote about one preacher. He said, all he does is travel around the country and get people's hopes up. I thought, well, isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? How many know the Bible gets your hope up? It's like, what you know, it's the word of faith that we preach, not the word of doubt and gloom and doom. And I understand there's excesses in some of these teachings. I understand, but that doesn't invalidate them. You know, like I said, I walked in a Christian bookstore and I saw this book and it was called The Health and Wealth Gospel, The Era of the Health and Wealth Gospel. I said, now, wait a minute, let's just think this through like intelligent people that's got some brains. The Bible says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, not the removal of it. Let's just think about this for a little bit. All right, so if you're saying health and wealth is bad, then it should be the sickness and poverty gospel. I can't find that in the Bible anywhere. God wants us blessed. Now, I understand people have taken the prosperity message and taken way beyond what the Bible says, but leave it where the Bible says it. The Bible says God wants you to have all sufficiency in all things. That's a verse in your Bible. That you can abound to every good work. That's the Bible. I'll stick with the Bible. Amen? Well, either I'm right or, well, you ain't. Bible's right. How many know that? I'm not either. The Bible's right. How many know that? I'm not right. It's the Bible that's right, right? All right, go to James chapter 1. You know, this is the biggest area of failure that I see is people don't have a living faith. They think they do because they believe something, but they don't ever act on it. And when you don't act on it, you don't get the results that you could have. You know, and it's like I said, when you read that in Matthew, he's not talking about somebody that rejected his words or they wouldn't be listening to them. This is somebody that was okay. It's kind of like God told Jeremiah. He said, they come and listen to you, you know, preach, told Jeremiah one time. They come and listen to you preach, and you're like one that can play lovely to them. They love to hear you preach. They love your word. They love what you say, but they don't do any of it. Amen. And so here in James says this in James chapter 1, all right, verse 22. Does this, he said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Notice this, deceiving your own selves. See? So what's the deception here? Well, the deception is this, that if you're a hearer and you're not a doer, you think you've done enough. because you know what the Bible says. But he says, verse 23, but if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. He beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. So it doesn't do him any good. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people got like, you know, like I think I do somewhere, got like a little bit of a mo on my face. You know, it's just the only thing that really wrecks my beauty. I didn't get much amen on all that. Okay, the hair is a little problem too. I understand. But, you know, and I think I got one on one side or the other. It's not real noticeable, but I've been looking at this face for a long time. And I still don't know which one it is because I haven't made a decision to decide it and keep the information. You know what I'm saying? To walk in it. I haven't confessed it. I've got a mole on the right side of my, I don't know. But anyway, the point is, it doesn't do you any good. I mean, the word won't do you any good if you don't do it. You can hear it. You can get excited about it. But if you don't do it, because he goes on and says in the next verse, look at this, verse 25, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, talking about God's word, it'll bring liberty to your life, and continues in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. How many know there's work to be done? This man shall be blessed in his deed. So here's the thing about this, okay? When James here is talking about he deceives him his own self, it's something that is called mental assent. Anybody ever heard of that? Now, what is mental assent? Mental assent admits it's true. It even admires it. Right? It admits it's true. It admires it. You know, it's like it doesn't disagree with that. Yeah, it's true. It admits it. It hears it. Listen, it hears it. It admires it. It admits it, but it doesn't act on it. Doesn't do any good. Amen. You know, people. It's kind of like going to the doctor and you trust the doctor, and he tells you what to do, and you don't do it. And you want, why am I not getting any better? Right? You know, I was having some things, and I just brought it up. I didn't go to the doctor for this reason. I think I just went for a regular, you know, I tried to do a physical once a year, blood work, you know, and see if there's anything we got to use our faith on or fight. And usually the doctor always tells me the same thing every time, get more water and cardio. And I'm like, you know, what's wrong with Pepsi? It's like that one naturalist doctor said to me, you don't eat vegetables, do you? I said, I eat corn. She laughed at me. McDonald's fries, not a vegetable. I'm having some fun with you. I'm kind of serious, but not totally. I do better than that. I still eat McDonald's fries, by the way. But anyway, I had been having these issues. It's like, and what happened on Sunday morning after I preach, I'd have these. First time it happened to me, we had made it to the restaurant, and I started feeling like I'm leaving my body. I'm detaching. It's just like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, I'm losing contact, consciousness here. And so I thought, well, I'm going to the bathroom, you know. And so I went to the bathroom, and I got in there. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to make it out of here. And I looked at the floor and thought, man, I don't want to fall on this floor. If I'm going to fall, give me a cleaner floor to fall on or something, you know, not here, Lord. And I make it back to the table. And Phyllis can tell you as soon as I got back to it, because what's wrong with you? Because I was white. My shirt was soaked, you know. I mean, it was just wet, my shirt. And I felt like this is my last day on the planet. And so there's a younger lady, and she's like a booth or three over away from me. And she sees what's going on, and she comes over and says, I'm a nurse. And so she checks my vitals and all this, and she has them bring me out, what, some crackers and some orange juice. And so I eat it. A little bit later, I feel a little better, and I eat my pizza, praise God. All right, so I thought, okay, that was weird. That was strange. It happened again. It happened again. It happened the fourth time. So I'm over here with the doc, and I thought, well, I'm just going to bring that up to him and just say what he says about it. And he asked me this question. He said, What do you eat before you go preach? I said, nothing. I said, I don't eat before I preach. I'm in fast mode. He said, well, that's the problem. He said, you need to eat a little something before you go. I said, Doc, I've been doing this for 40 years. He said, well, you're 40 years older. You're not as young as you used to be. It's like, I didn't come here to hear I'm no spring chicken. He said, just eat a little bit of something, you know, a power bar or something, you know, drink a little orange juice or whatever, there's whatever he told me, but eat a little power bar or something. And so I did that. I've never had another problem. I followed his instructions. Now, I'm telling you, if you can fix me by telling me to eat, I'm good with you, Doc. Don't give me any medicine. Just give me some food. Don't they say food heals? It did me. Praise God. So, how many of you, I followed these instructions. And it worked. And I was over with my friend in Tegucigalpa in Honduras, Pastor Gary. And he's having the same thing happen to him. And I said, just eat something. I'm a medical doctor. Eat something. Dr. Pearl. So I told Pastor Gary, just eat a little bit of something. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just no spring chicken any longer. Your body needs some nourishment. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about? You gotta do the word. It's not going to do any good. If you don't do the word, you're not going to do good. It's not going to profit you. But if you do, you're going to be, the Bible says, you'll be blessed in all your doings. Right. Look at the second chapter. You're there. In the first, let's go to the second chapter. Let me read that to you in chapter 2. Go with me. Verse 17, James 2:17. He says, even so faith, if it has not works, or we could say corresponding actions, is dead being alone. How many know we're saved by faith alone, but true Bible faith has action? Right? You know, we don't get saved by what we do. We get saved by what we believe, right? But true faith, according to the Bible, the Bible says, by faith, in Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, that of your not of yourselves, but is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And it goes on, talks about that we were created for good works. See? So true faith has action, right? Now notice this, he says, verse 18, yea, a man may say, I have faith, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I mean, you can't do that. I'll show you my faith by my works. How do I know somebody really believes in Jesus? Because they endeavor to act like Jesus and walk like Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of people claim to be believers, and we're not the judge of them, but we are the judge of fruit. You understand what I'm saying? And so I see like movie stars and musicians and stuff like that, and they all talk about Jesus. And I'm not saying they're not saved, but they're not very. But I can judge the fruit. They're not very mature if they are, because you won't be singing around and dancing around in your underwear.
That's right.
Is that fair? Oh, you're just judging. Let me tell you something. This generation of days says, you're just judging me. You need it. Somebody needs to help you. So, no, we're not to be judgmental, but Jesus taught us to judge fruit. Paul, even Jesus himself said to the church at Ephesus, you've tried those that say they're apostles and found them out liars. You checked them out. We're to check things out. I'm sorry if I just smashed your favorite entertainer, but he needs to put his pants on if he's a believer. I can't see Jesus and his 12 disciples out running around in their underwear around Galilee. Let's be Christ-like. How about that? Oh, that offends me. Well, get over your bad self. Get with the word, right? All right. Now, notice this. Verse 19, you believe that there's one God, the devils do well. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, it's great you believe there's one God, but the devil believes that. You're not doing any better than he did. You understand what I'm saying? See, before I was saved, I was pretty messed up. with drugs and stuff. But even though I was messed up that bad, if you would have asked me, if you would have asked me, is Jesus Christ the Son of God? I would have said yes. Is Jesus Christ the only way to salvation? I would have said yes. Are you going to hell without Jesus? I would have said yes. In the state I was in, I still believe those things. I really believe that. I believed in Jesus. I believed what He did. But I wasn't a living faith because I wasn't acting on it. I wasn't living for Him. There wasn't any works. There was just belief. That's not good enough. Amen. See, it's one thing to believe in something. It's another thing to believe for something. This is a huge difference. People believe in healing but don't believe for it. People believe in certain things but don't believe for it, see. Now, see, that's where we got to watch that, because we can all fall into that. Verse 20 says, "Will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he'd offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See how faith was working with his works, and by works his faith was made complete." So your faith's not going to be made complete or run its completion until you had corresponding action with it, see. He says, and we see verse 23, it says, "The scripture was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God, was accounted to him or imputed him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." You see then that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. They got to work both together. "Likewise was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way." Now notice this, verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now here's the interesting thing. When it says faith without works is dead, the word dead means corpse. Your faith can be a corpse. How many know what a corpse is? How many know what a corpse can do? How much can a corpse bless you? See, we saw this movie one time, and these guys had stolen like $250,000. Wasn't that what they did? They stole it. They kept it, and it wasn't theirs. And so they did, and they went their separate ways. They were like in the wars when they did it. In World War II, they did it. And they went their separate ways, and they were supposed to meet up or something and split it. And now it somehow got away. I don't remember the whole story. That's the good thing about me watching movies is I can watch them like 4, 5, 6 times. And, you know, I still don't know how it turned out. But anyway. Anyway. They all were trying to figure out which one of them had it, you know, who's got it. And so one of them that they thought might have it, he dies, you know. And so they're having his funeral, and, you know, his widow's in there sitting on the front row, and there's another lady. That's the only two people that showed up for the funeral. There's just two people in there. So he walks in the door, you know, and so the guy's laying in the coffin, and, you know, he wants to make sure he's dead. So he pulls out a stick pin, and jabs him. And the guy doesn't even respond. He doesn't go, ouch, anything. Jerks it out. He wanted to make sure he was dead, see? See, he knew if he had a corpse on his hand, it's not going to respond. That's the way our faith is. I hope this gets across to you, because I have a lot of people who just say, well, I don't believe in that any longer. Well, listen, if it's in the Bible, you should still believe in it. But the reason it doesn't work sometimes is because our faith's dead. We're not acting on it. Let me close by going to one last scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter, I think it's 14. Did you get anything today? Amen. Acts 14. We want to make sure we have a living faith, that we don't just believe in something, we're acting on it. Right. Acts 14. You know, I believe it, you know, ribeye steaks are good. But you know what? I also act on it sometimes. Right? See, it's not going to feed you if you don't do anything. You know what I'm saying? He's like, right? You know, you can come to the table and say, well, you know, I just believe food's good, and I know it's good, and I know that's good. How many of you go, you got to eat it for it? You got to act on it. Amen. Look at this in Acts 14. Now I'm going to kick over a sacred cow here in the church. We're going to butcher that heifer. Are you ready? Listen to this. Acts 14, verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. That's Barnabas and Paul. What'd they preach? Gospel. What's the gospel mean? The good news. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This guy's never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceived that he had faith to be healed. And let's just stop there just for a minute before we read on. It must take faith to be healed. Now, we've caught all kinds of flack over this because they'll say we say something we don't say. I've heard it hundreds of times. You guys are saying that the reason people aren't healed is they don't have any faith. I didn't say that. There's a lot of reasons why people don't receive their healing. One thing, you may be sabotaging your health. You might need to pray, and God might tell you to quit eating all those, you know, Hostess ding-dongs you're eating. Some of you got mad at me over that. I didn't say you couldn't have one, but I'm just simply saying you gotta use some wisdom about you. You know, your body will filter out stuff, you know what I'm saying, but if you overload it, you're headed for trouble. See? Amen. So that could be a reason, right? You could be in unforgiveness. That could be a reason. Right? Is that right? You could be in disobedience to God. That could be a reason. I'm not saying God's making you sick, but it's a reason why you're not receiving, see? But how many know you could not have enough faith, and that could be a reason, because it does take faith. And I don't understand these guys that preach against us and criticize us. When you read all the Gospels, Jesus, I don't know how many times, said, your faith made you whole. Well, you're just condemning people. We're not condemning anybody. You're condemning himself. We haven't said that to anybody. Is that right? Have you ever told anybody that? Not that you know of. Jesus did, though. He said, where's your faith? Why is it you have no faith? He did that. I haven't done that, so leave me alone. Everybody smile. You know what I'm saying? I get weary hearing this stuff. It's like, well, you guys are saying people aren't healed because they don't have it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it takes faith to be healed. And how does faith come? How does faith come? What's the Bible say? Faith coming by what? And hearing by what? The Word of God. So how'd this guy get faith to be healed? He heard the Word of God. So did Paul, must Paul been preaching about healing? How would he have faith for it? How would you know? See, if I said this, I said, look, I'm going to give $1,000 to somebody this morning. How many are excited? But I didn't say you. Aaron raised his hand. He's excited. He said, come on, Pastor, keep your word. How many understand? If I say I'm going to give $1,000 to somebody today, that does not produce faith in you. That you may hope that happens. But if I say, and I'm a man of my word, everybody in this building, I'm going to give $1,000 to you today. Amen. There's faith. Yeah. So how could this guy have faith if Paul was preaching, God might heal and he might not. He heals some and others he doesn't. How's this guy going to have any faith? I might be one he doesn't. For faith to come, there has to be concrete. So we preached about this Wednesday night. There's got to be concrete, solid evidence for you to have faith. So Paul's preaching this. This guy had faith to be healed. But notice this. Even though he has faith to be healed, he's not healed, is he? Until Paul says, said with a loud voice, verse 10, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. I mean, his faith didn't become living until he did something. And when he did what Paul said, then something happened. Amen. I hope you see that. I said, I hope you see that. That you know, remember this, you can close your Bibles. Remember this, the Bible says about the lepers, the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. How many remember that? It says, as they went, they were healed. Right? Remember that? Now, remember, they came to him and they cried out for mercy. Have mercy on us. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. Pastor Chuck was preaching on that one night years ago. And as he was preaching, the thought hit me. I thought, well, I wonder how far it was from where they were at in Galilee to get to the priest in Jerusalem. Okay. I began to do some research on that. So they would have to go to the priest at Jerusalem and show themselves that they've been cleansed, see? And so I thought, all right, I wonder how far that is. I did some study on it. I found out it was, depending on where they were at in Galilee, it was approximately 45 miles away. So here, these guys have leprosy. And Jesus says, hey, go show yourselves to the priest. All 10 of them took off and were ready to walk 45 miles, weren't they? And doesn't tell us how far they got. It just says as they went, they were healed. We don't know if they went 20 feet or 10 miles. We don't know. You know, you remember the story when one came back to give glory. The rest like, they must have been a ways away because only one came back. The rest said, we've walked too far. You follow that? See, if they'd have been 20 feet away, they would all come back. But only one of them thought, yeah, I'm going back. I don't care how far I've walked, I'm going back. The other's like, you can go back if you want to, man. I've already walked 10 miles. But it was as they went. But notice they had to do some, all right, pardon my English, they had to do some wenting. Didn't they? They had to do something. And that made their faith alive. What would have happened? Let's just suppose. What would have happened if they would have said to Jesus, well, we're not going until we see something. How many know they'd never gotten healed? They had to do what he said. It's the same thing. That's what the Bible says. We go back to Matthew 7. Those that hear my word and do it, their house will stand. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.